Well, without further ado, and Dave's just come back from the States. Dave's an elder here. He's the Asia-Pacific Director for Youth for Christ and travels a lot extensively around Asia and America and for Youth for Christ. And he's come back and he had a real passion to preach on thankfulness and to give God's word out. And so he came to me last week and he says, if you can fit me in any time, I'd really love to give this word. And I just went, wow. Yeah, I do. I do have a spot. So hot off the press, won't you make a warm welcome, Dave Bonanno.
Those testimonies actually feed exactly into what I want to share this morning. God wants us to be thankful. So I'm going to pray a prayer right now that God blesses what I have to bring, and that it penetrates our hearts, makes us think, but makes us respond. Father God, you are holy. There is none like you. We are so grateful that you counted us worthy, that you've saved us, that it's not by accident we're in this room this morning. We have thankful hearts. But Lord, we want to be even more thankful. We give you all the glory, all the honor and praise. And Father, if there's anything that I say this morning that's not of you, would you help me bite my tongue before it comes out? Everything that is coming from your throne, Lord God, would you help penetrate the hearts of this wonderful group of people? We might know you a little bit better. We might know what you want just that much more. And we would be willing to do whatever it takes to be made more like Jesus every day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Every time I speak, which is not that often, but when I do, I always cover this little bit of territory first, because to me this is foundational to why we're here, why we're Christians. And here it is. There's a battle going on. The battle is for your mind and your heart. And on this side we have the enemy, Satan, the devil, the evil one, who will do anything, use anything to try and take your eyes and my eyes off our Heavenly Father, what he provided in our brother, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Anything. He uses the media. Every single moment of every single day. He uses the education system. He uses the political system. He uses the entertainment system. He takes the high places. Because he knows they have great effect on us. This is my dear brother. Thanks for your drumming, by the way. Great. And there's lies that are being told that sometimes even in the church, we just accept without even questioning. And we accept them because when you're surrounded by lies, you just begin to fall into place. You want an example of this? Have a look at Germany in the 1930s. A Christian country. A Christian country. Most people in that country at that time were Lutheran or Catholic. But they were believers. They believed They went to church every Sunday. They believed. And somehow, their minds shifted slowly till 1939, they were prepared to go to war with the rest of the world and wipe out the Jewish race, wipe out the Israelites. You see, a culture can actually take us over. It can permeate even in the church and destroy what we know to be right in our minds and our hearts. It's disgraceful that that can happen, but it happens because we let our guards down. So we've got to be ever vigilant, ever vigilant. So if we can have the slides up, please. So today I want to talk about why we need a tank full of thankful. And when I started to think about thankfulness, I started to realize this is a key element of our faith. A key element of our faith. But we don't think about it very often. We don't consider it very deeply. When I started to consider it and wait on God and go to prayer, I started to read the Word of God, and every time I opened up the book, I'd see another scripture to deal with thankfulness. I'd see another element of God's great plan for thankfulness. I'd see something more that would teach me that if I don't have a thankful heart, I have a problem. And the world is teaching us forever not to be thankful, to be resentful, to be envious, to be covetousness, to be filled with what we don't have, and to become a victim. That's what the world's telling us all day long. So why do we need a tank full of thankful? And there's some great scriptures. Look at this. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors that served beyond the Euphrates, the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. I got this next bit. I've got a wall of photos in my house. This next bit of scripture is right up in the middle of this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But check this out. Go to Deuteronomy 30. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, to walk in obedience with him. I'll come back later in what I've got to say to this word obedience. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down, that is to submit, to acquiesce to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice, hold fast to him. And check this little phrase, for the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It's an incredible bit of scripture. Choose life. And I'll be really blunt. What is being pumped out at us is a sewer of lies. A sewer of lies. And if you don't know that, then I implore you to seek God's will on this. To hear God's voice on this. If you don't believe me, it's a sewer of lies. Why would we want to accept those lies? We have a choice between life or death, blessings or curses. Anybody want the curses, the death, the destruction? Of course not. But that's what's being pumped out at us, and that's what people are believing. Life is a choice. Consequences have choices. So today I want to talk about thankfulness, because I think this is key. And I've always wondered, when I first heard this name, I thought this is the best name in the world I've ever heard. Is a movie star called Tom Hanks. Every time he signs his name, it's T. Hanks. Thanks. And I thought that's good. You know, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Everywhere you go, when you sign something, thanks. Thanks. People look at it, what? Anyway, that's just a little side. But look, when I was a young fellow, I was in rock bands. I did several years, made a lot of money and did some stupid things, but got saved. Then formed Christian rock bands, because that's what you do. And there was this band that I loved, and we used to do a lot of their songs called Petra. Some of the people my age might remember those guys. And they used to write wonderful lyrics. And one of the lyrics of one of their songs, the name of the song was I Have a Thankful Heart. It was a ballad. And these are the lyrics. I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you. I can't even work up in myself thankfulness. It has to come from God. Thankfulness has to come from God. Just like any virtue. Any good thing comes from the throne of God. But I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you. I have a thankful heart. Words don't come easily, but I'm sure you can see my thankful heart. So you can say things with your mouth. Words don't come easily. Words are sometimes not filled with truth, but the heart, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the Bible says. Out of the abundance of my heart, I speak. What's going on in my heart, that is my internal person. This is the real me. Behind all the screens, behind all the closed doors, that's me. What's in my heart? Out of the abundance of that is what I speak out. And I loved that song, and I used to play it over and over and over and over again. We learned it as a band, and it's just one of those songs that I think lifts you up. But today we live in a world where I was talking to a guy on an aeroplane just recently. A nice fella. He works for Microsoft. Pretty smart cookie. Travels the world, makes a lot of money. I don't know why he was sitting down with me in Mother Teresa class, but he was. So we're going along, and he says, people are basically good. People are basically good. And I've heard that a lot. People say that. People are basically good. If you believe that, I have a bridge in Sydney to sell you. People are not basically good. People can do good things. People can be sometimes good, but basically, this is the Bible, we are sinners saved by grace. Someone says to you, people are basically good, go like that. Why do we have court systems? Why do we have prisons, detention centres? Why do we have rape, murder, theft, incest? Why do we have marriage breakup, family despair? Why do we have counsellors, psychiatrists, social workers? People are not basically good. It's all around us. The evidence is so plain. People are sinners that need Jesus. Just like I need Jesus. Praise God, 42 years ago next month, I found Jesus. And I said, whatever you want, because I can't work it out. But I know you can. You're God. So people are not basically good. Why do we need a police force? Why do we need military? Whole countries are rogue. People are not good. People need salvation. So, godly life is a choice. A life of personal growth and discipline is a choice. A life of virtue is a choice. A life of service is a choice. A life of obedience is a choice. Thankfulness is a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. Will you serve life or will you serve death? It's a choice. Here's a story from Luke 17. It's about a few lepers. Now, I've met a couple of lepers. Fortunately, they weren't too far along in the thing, but leprosy is a terrible curse, terrible, terrible curse. People, just a side note, when you hear somebody say pain, there's no good thing about pain. Pain's a terrible thing. Talk to a leper who can't feel when their finger is being scalded by burning water. Pain all of a sudden becomes very valuable, very reasonable, and something desirable. See, pain has a purpose. But we avoid pain, don't we, humans? Anything to avoid pain. And if we see pain, we immediately think evil. But who put the receptors in our skin? The receptors that actually help us feel pain. Who put the emotions in our heart that can feel pain that way? Came from God. Because he knows this is a useful thing to have. But here we go. Luke 17. Now on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and he was entering a village. 10 men with leprosy met him. These guys probably had parts of their body falling off. This before any medications or anything like that, they were separated from the general public. They stood at a distance because they knew they weren't allowed to come close, raised their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Obviously heard what Jesus was going around doing and healing people. And as he saw them, he said, when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went along, they were obedient to his direction. They were cleansed. That's amazing. Simple. He didn't touch them, didn't say, just said, "Go and see the priests." As they were going, they got healed. It's amazing. Then one of them, just one, when he saw he was healed, so this would have been an instantaneous deal, right? He saw that he was healed. He said, "Whoa." He turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell with his face to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Jesus said, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where was their thankfulness? Where was their worship? Was no one found to turn back and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to the man, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. But the reason I share this scripture is because just one out of 10 decided to be thankful. But people are basically good, right? Well, just one out of 10 did the right thing. So here's the first thing. Thankfulness is the foundation of praise. You cannot praise without a thankful heart. You might think you can, but you cannot. Thankfulness comes from here. And if your heart is not in a right place, what's coming out of your mouth is hitting the ceiling, and that's about as far as it goes. Thankfulness is the foundation of praise. How do I know? Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. What about Colossians 3:15-17? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's pretty straightforward. I don't think you can sort of second guess that, can you really? What about 2 Corinthians? All this for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Thanksgiving. 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 What about Psalm 69? I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. How about Psalm 118? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Gladness. Thanksgiving. What about Hebrews 12:28? Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Thankfulness, thankful heart, gratitude, gladness. Thankfulness is the foundation of praise. So if you're coming in here on a Sunday and we're singing songs, but we have no thankfulness in our heart, we're not conscious that we're thankful to God, we might be doing ourselves a disservice. We might be cutting ourselves short. We might be missing the mark a bit. And like I said, the world is telling you not to be thankful. The world is telling you to be a victim. The world is telling us all that we're part of a small little group, identity group. You know, if you're a woman, you know, you should be a feminist. And if you're a black skinned person, you should hold those white people to account. And if you're a white person, you should be standing up for yourself because, you know, you came from England. I don't know. It's all rubbish. It's all rubbish. You're not a victim. I'm not a victim. God forbid. But look at this. Thankfulness leads to praise and worship. Praise and worship leads to joy. The joy of the Lord, that is. And the joy of the Lord brings internal peace. And peace leads to contentment. It is contentment. When you're at peace, you are content. And guess where you are when you are content? You're in a place of spiritual authority. Because circumstance doesn't rule you. You rule circumstance. You're not a victim. What about this? It says in 1 Thessalonians, So thankfulness leads to spiritual authority. That's the second point. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In all circumstances. And you're thinking to yourself, right now I know, but wait a minute. There's some circumstances. I don't know if I really want to be thankful to God about that. What about the mother that just lost a sweet child? Someone here that just lost a loved one dear to them. I don't know if I want to be thankful to God in that circumstance. I don't know if I should be thankful to God then. Let me read it again. Give thanks in all circumstances. I don't see any provision in there. I don't see any except when, only but if, not then. I just see in all circumstances. Now, why would God put that in his word? All circumstances. I'll give you one example. This is not as, it's not as desperate as the ones that I've just mentioned, but it's, my dad was in the Air Force. He's a smart man. He wanted to be a pilot in the war, in the Second World War. He wanted to be a pilot. And he joined the Air Force, went in, he was going into flight school. He had been trained as a mechanic. He had all of the brains and know-how and desire and passion, and then he caught the mumps. And what happens sometimes when you catch the mumps for men, if you don't know this, please, women, do this, because sometimes it sends you infertile. It can do that to men. Another side effect is it can send you deaf. And my father's ear went deaf like that. He only had one ear for the rest of his life that he could hear with. So he was immediately kicked off out of the flight school, flight training. Sorry, you can't hear. There's no point in putting you up in an aeroplane. Now, my dad, being my dad, I guess he's just this, was this kind of guy, he said, "Well, you know what? That's okay. I'll find something else to do." And he had a thankful heart. Because he was moved sideways to another station, he went into the office pool one day to deliver some paperwork. He was put into radar because he was very technically proficient. He was put into radar, and he went into the typing pool, and he saw this beautiful blonde English woman there. That's where I came from. The reason I tell you that is because he was a thankful heart, and he knew God would somehow work it for good. And what does the scripture say? All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Again, no provisions, no sort of sub-clauses. All things work together for good. Now, I could tell you story after story of people who could have become despondent and despairing and weeping and gnashing of teeth for the rest of their life and putting on black clothes. By the way, my dad was Sicilian, so for him to marry an English woman was something else in those days. When my grandfather died, my dad's dad, who was really Sicilian, when he died, sadly, only in his 50s, my grandmother wore black for the rest of her life. In mourning, oh, just like all the other Italian women who lost their spouse in those days. In mourning, oh, I'm never going to get over it. That's no way to live. No way to live at all. Choose life. So check this out now, Philippians 4, 6, 7. And I love this. I've got this on the fridge at home. You need to get this stuff in front of you in your houses. You need to be reading this stuff every time you do something regular. Put it up where you're going to see it all the time. Check this out. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. And by the way, just in case you ever doubt, these promises are written in the blood of Christ. These are ours. These are written in the blood of Christ for us. This is straight from the heart of God to us. Take a hold of it. So if we're not thankful, then what? Well, I believe the opposite of thankfulness is resentment. It's not ingratitude. You see, some things like light and darkness, they are directly, you could say, what's the opposite of light? You'd say darkness. You'd say, what's the opposite of love? You might say hate. But actually it's not. Because hate is at least an emotion that is aimed at the person. There's a target. The opposite of love is indifference. Total carelessness. By the way, which the devil thinks about you. He doesn't hate you, he hates God. He doesn't hate me, he hates God. He knows, however, when he hurts me, causes me to stumble, causes me to fall on my face, causes me to sin, he knows he's shaking his fist at God. He couldn't care less whether I live or die, whether you live or die. He is totally, totally careless about us. So the opposite of love is not hate. Similarly, the opposite of thankfulness is not ingratitude. I was going to say thankfulness less, but that gets a bit long-winded. It's not ingratitude. It's resentment. You see, someone gives you a gift, and they come to you with a gift, and it's a token, because most gifts are tokens. They're not, you know, a real gift is if someone said, look, there's a house over there, it's yours. Oh, that's a gift, you know. But most gifts are tokens, aren't they, really? You know, we say, look, I can't afford a lot, but I just want you to have this box of chocolates. I just want you to have this little memory of our time together. Or, you know, I did a photo album up for you with your time that you spent with us. It's a token, it's a gift. And what do? We immediately go, thank you. That's really thoughtful. Why? Because it's come from the heart, not the wallet. It's come from the heart. And so that's why we're thankful, right? So when the Lord saves us and we first come to Christ, I don't know about you, but I went nuts. When I first got saved, I was a nuisance. I was one of those people that's a spiritual nuisance. I mean, I literally, this is no lie, I saw a guy handing out something in the streets one day and I thought, he needs to hear about Jesus. I was in my car. So I zipped around, tried to find a car park, got out, raced down the road, chased him down the road, saying, you need Jesus, mate. And he's looking at me like I was a lunatic. I was. I was so on fire that I wanted people to know. I told anybody and everybody, and I told my bosses, I told my work colleagues, I told everybody. But I had no wisdom. So I turned a lot off. I made a lot of bad errors doing this. And in fact, my boss said to me one day, he said, if you talk about this anymore, if you talk about Jesus anymore, coming in here, talking about Jesus anymore, he said, your job's on the line. And I said, well, okay, all right. Right then, the Holy Spirit gave me a brilliant idea. I said, tell you what, I promise I won't say another word about Jesus unless somebody else brings up the subject. And they can't help themselves. People can't help themselves. Every single day, for the rest of the time I was at that job, every single day, someone would bring it up. All right, Dave, what do you reckon about such and such? You started it. And I go, tell them about Jesus, you know. Why? Because I chose life. And I wanted everybody else to know that life that I'd found. After being in death, I found life. And I'm so thankful for it. It made total sense that everybody should know about this. Why doesn't everybody know about this? So the opposite of thankfulness is resentment. And you know, resentment leads us to become a victim even more. That's why there's all these groups in the world today. They got lobbyists going to see the politicians, and it's just a rat race out there of all these victim groups. I didn't get my way here. I didn't have this here. I know people who've had some of the worst experiences that you can imagine in life, one after the other after the other. One of my friends in Youth for Christ comes from Rwanda. He lost 19 of his family. 19 of his family were slaughtered simply because one group thought the other group wasn't worth it. He never, ever got bitter and twisted about it. He said, God, I will give you thanks in every situation, just as the scripture requires. I can't understand it. That's fair. I can't understand it. I'm struggling to know why, but I don't have to know why. I just have to do what your word says. And this is where we get caught up, right? We don't need to know why. We're not smart enough to know why, even if we could find out why. We don't have enough intelligence. Most of us can't tie our shoelaces straight. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but you know, we're all deficient, particularly mentally. None of us are Einstein. I'm not. None of us are geniuses. And if you are a genius, you probably need to rest on Jesus a bit more. We don't need to know why. We need to be obedient. You see, when you say to your children, go and have a shower now, go and have a bath, and they still run around 5 minutes later, I told you to go and have a bath. You're doing this for their sake, right? So you need to get clean. You smell. You're putting everybody off. Go and have a bath. It's time for them to go and have a bath. When they do it, that obedience, you're immediately glad they did it. They don't need to know why, especially when they're 2 or 3 or 4 years old. They just need to know you said do it. So God wants us to defeat resentment with gratitude, with thankfulness, and overcome envy the same way. Overcome those things that are stopping us getting close to God. So what then should we say in response to these things from Romans? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor the angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. If you've lost a loved one, if you've lost something precious to you, a relationship, if your marriage is broken down, today I'm going to ask you to say to the Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to thank you, Lord, anyway, that somehow you will bring good from this. Because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Neither height nor depth, principalities, powers, nothing. John Calvin said it like this. Let me go on to the next point. I'll do that because I'm running out of time. A thankful heart is attractive. You wonder why people don't get along in life? Because they're not thankful to one another. They're expecting. They're expecting. They're not thankful. Thankful people do nice things because they're grateful for a relationship. They do nice things. The Bible says that we should that all men should know that we are his disciples. How? That we love one another. We do nice things to each other. We lift each other up. We edify each other. We encourage each other. We give people opportunities in the church. We love to bless. And this is part of thankfulness. It's part of having a thankful heart. Part of being part of this body is to be thankful. People who serve, all the deacons who serve, they're thankful that they have this church as a home church. I'm going to really rush through because the time has come really long and I've overdone it. But just quickly and lastly, thankfulness focuses outwards. Be thankful for other people's blessings. Watch what other people are having blessings. Don't be looking all the time, are you blessed or not blessed? God didn't do this for me. Be looking for other people to get blessed and be thankful for them. Take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off your circumstance and look at other people's circumstances. Things will change dramatically for you once you do that. Love one another with brotherly affection, it says in Romans. Outdo one another in showing honour to one another. John 13, new commandment I give you that you love one another just as I have loved you unto death. And 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are already doing. So in summary, thankfulness is a choice. Thankfulness is the foundation of praise. Thankfulness leads us to spiritual authority. Lacking thankfulness leads us to become victims. Thankfulness is attractive to God and man. Thankfulness focuses outwards to others. So this is the challenge. If we go to the next slide, please. This is the challenge. What are you going to do to make time daily to thank God? Thank God for your life, your family, your church. Thank God for the opportunity to serve him. Thank God for your salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for trusting you with trials despite your weakness. He's trusting us with trials. Thank him for that. Commit to be thankful always. When others are blessed, be thankful. Even when you aren't. In times of trial and difficulty, be thankful. Look for the small things. Be thankful. And even when you don't feel like it, say, I'll do it anyway, and be obedient. God wants us to be thankful. We cannot be good servants without that thankful heart. So let's pray. If you need prayer for thankfulness today, you can come out for prayer. Can I get the band up, please? We're going to close with this. So after this prayer, if you want to go, please go out and get some coffee and have some fellowship. Father God, I thank you that you first loved us. I thank you for this congregation, that you love them so deeply that you sent your son. I thank you for this community that yet doesn't know you or is distant from you. I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you that you are doing everything that is possible to bring them to yourself. Thank you that you trust us to participate in that process. Thank you, Lord God, for the Adopt a Street initiative. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the HCCO. I thank you, Lord God, that we are taking your word seriously in this place. But Lord, we are not thankful enough. Break down these things in us that stop us from truly being thankful. Break down the barriers in us, Lord, that stop us from saying thank you even when it's hurt in us. Help us, Lord, to see that your plans are better than ours. Your ways are higher than ours. Help us to see that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And your ways are great. Father, forgive us when we have criticized your decisions. Forgive us for not being grateful that you have given us life to be overcomers, to stand in heavenly places. Father, forgive us when we have not been grateful for others being blessed and instead have been envious or jealous. Forgive us, Lord. I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you, Lord. It can only come from you. I have a thankful heart. Lord, let that be our prayer. I have a thankful heart. Father, bless these people as they go. Would you bless them this week? Give them opportunity to be thankful, Lord, to show the gratitude that they have towards you, to others. Be thankful to their spouses, to their children, to their work colleagues, to the fellow students, the people that they deal with in business. Help us be thankful, Lord. Pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.